All right, let's go. We ready?
All right, all right.
All right, welcome everybody to the inaugural, the very first Eddie and Joey. Eddie McVay from Maggie O'Brien's, Joe Zanaboni. I keep screwing that up. From St. Louis City, our own broadcaster right here at Maggie O'Brien's. What we've done, ladies and gentlemen, is Joey and I have been talking for a little while and decided that we would be kind of fun deal to do a little podcast right after the St. Louis City soccer games right across the street here at Maggie O'Brien's. I am Maggie O'Brien. Joe Zanaboni is the broadcaster there for St. Louis City. So, Joey, I can't tell you how excited we are to have you here.
Well,
Maggie O'Brien,
thank you so much for having me to celebrate a St. Louis City SC win tonight.
Big
win. One final, and that is FC Dallas comes into City Park tonight fighting for their playoff lives. City trying to extend the Western Conference lead. It wasn't always the prettiest game. North of 20 shots for City tonight, able to flush the only two that really mattered and get the 2-1 win.
I'll tell you, Joe, when I was at the game, obviously I kind of talked to you briefly about it, but when they had the kick out early in the game with the red card, I was thinking it was going to be a kind of a domination from us. And I do feel like we did dominate the play. I do feel like that was, especially in that first half. That being said, they did have some chances there, but I did feel like we dominated that play, but I never were we actually finishing it. A lot of set pieces, which clearly we're very good at, but a lot of set pieces and things that I thought maybe we'd have a chance to like take it to the next level, but they gave us a little bit of a game, but at the end of the day, we ended up with a victory.
I mean, if folks are listening in at home for the first time to anything about St. Louis City, you might find this shocking, but if St. Louis City SC has more than 50% of the possession, that's considered a bad thing. The team is looking for about 35, 40% possession over the course of a game and trying to find turnovers, trying to find takeaways as the other team possesses the ball. Tonight, 65% possession. And even though on its face, on the surface, it might seem like, oh, 65% is a great thing. For this team, that's tough. And I think they ended up with 22 shots, scored twice, got the job done, credit to them. But when we took on Dallas about 3 months ago, City actually outshot the FC Dallas team with room to spare. I mean, it was 16-8, but lost the game 2-0. So they've learned lessons. They've gotten tougher as the season's gone along, and it's paid off.
Joe, talk about the fact that also we've got a lot of guys right now, maybe not a lot, but I'd say two or three that are definitely playing out of place a little bit. You got maybe a stopper in the back that's playing off to the left. You got guys that are filling it. And I'll also actually let me step back on this. With as well as we started with the goal scoring early on, people getting hurt, it's almost the next guy up is really working for us. And I do feel like not only that, you also have players that are playing maybe one spot out of their normal spot, but they're getting the job done.
Worth noting tonight, Nico Joachini, who's just 3 goals off the MLS lead, was not active, dealing with a shoulder injury that the team is very optimistic about. Hopefully he's back in the lineup come Saturday. Guy's still getting it done. Sam Adeniran starts, then Nukby Thorason comes in the second half. And, of course, Santa Claus came back tonight. Joao Claus coming back to City Park for the first time since April 15th. The depth is there, and I do believe, and I think my partner Dale Schilly and others around the team would agree, we're about to see the most talented version of the St. Louis City SC roster, how it was really designed with players like Joachim Nielsen coming back, acquiring Thorason, acquiring Anthony Markanic, and especially getting Joao Claus, the striker who lit this league on fire in the early part of the season before suffering a quad injury that kept him out for 4 months. With him back, that is like acquiring an international superstar in the transfer window. He is that big of a deal.
And the coolest part of that, I think, is we were able to keep it going. There was a lot of people that were doubting right off the bat, like once, because he was so special starting. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, okay, now he's not going to be in the lineup. Where are we going to be now? People stepped up. It was the next guy up type mentality. And you started seeing guys kind of emerge that you're thinking, you didn't see that.
9 goal contributions in the first 2 months of the season. That was tied for the MLS lead as of April 22nd. Joao Claus started this season hotter than these. Pretzel bite coming out of the kitchen here at Maggie O'Brien's. I mean, I like them piping hot. Thanks for serving them up, Eddie.
I love it. Love it. Late night Maggie, late night menu here at Maggie O'Brien's once we get past 10 p.m. But we always serve food all the way to 2 a.m. So if you guys are downtown, please come see us. We appreciate it very much. And we run our normal menu, obviously, from 11 till about 11 p.m. at night. And then after that, we do have a late night menu. So we can always stick a little something in your belly while you're drinking a cold cocktail. That being said, let me ask you something, Joe. I want to switch topics just a little bit before we do go back to St. Louis City, because I do want to ask you more about St. Louis City and where I feel like where the actual club feels like they're at in the city itself, because I can tell you some of the vibe just being a bar and restaurant owner, what that is. But we'll get back to that briefly, because it is a soccer related deal and it's just over. Let's touch base briefly on the USA women's soccer and our exit and how we were exited. And I know there were some people that had some issues on how we got out.
Yeah, the U.S. women's national team, I fully expect them in 4 years to win the World Cup. So let's just start there. I think we still have the best athletes in the world.
I agree with that.
I still think we have the most experience. We have the best system to get the best out of these athletes. All that being said, it's a disappointing performance the way that it finished up. You and I were here together, actually, I think the day before that game against Sweden. That ended in a penalty kick loss. The rest of the world is caught up. There's no doubt about that, but that doesn't mean you can't win going forward. And whoever's the next coach, I think it's really time to invest in the youth, because as great as Alex Morgan has been, obviously as great as Megan Rapinoe has been, it's pretty much done for both of them. And now I think aggressively it has to be about the youth movement for U.S. soccer, players like Trinity Rodman leading the way.
Joey, I think, and I don't care what sport it is very difficult for that coach, that organization, to finally turn the page on a successful core of a team, even though sometimes it might be right there in the writing. And I think that's what they dealt
with. Because you want to win.
That you do. And no one rooted more than, I mean, everybody's rooting for them. But I really do think that had a lot to do with it. And like you just said, it's time to go ahead and turn the page. But I guess that puts a little exclamation point behind it, that it's time. And we all wanted them to do well. But at the end of the day, without exception, the days of maybe one team or two teams having some athletes that could run with us, they're over. The rest of the women in the world, that those teams have caught up.
And the team, remember, did not make at the Tokyo Games the championship contest, settled for a bronze medal. So it's a known problem, but it's something that I think they'll work out over the next couple of years. I think about that USA men's basketball team in 2004 have lost, didn't have a chance really to get the gold medal, and for the first time ever held away from the championship contest in the Olympics. And then 2 years later, they lost the world championship, but then came back in the 2008 Olympics and won the whole gosh darn thing, took home the gold. I foresee something kind of similar for the U.S. women's national team. They're going to struggle over the next 2 years, but by losing and by learning these lessons, they're going to emerge stronger than ever.
I agree with you. And I think it just makes it easier from a coaching and a management standpoint to finally say, hey, it's time to finally turn the page on some of these other players and go ahead and go a little bit younger. And that, you know, I do think that makes it easier. Now, let's switch topics a little bit. We're going to go from U.S. women's to, we just found out, September the 9th, right here at our very own St. Louis City. We're going to have the USA men's team. How cool is that to have them here in St. Louis?
Really cool, especially because the bronze boot game is on September 2nd. So that's
men and
one
women's,
week after.
Men and women's. The women's is first, and then the men's game, which is great. SIU versus St. Louis U.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most storied rivalries in all of college soccer. So you have that here on Saturday night. Unfortunately, I will not be in attendance for that. I'll be across the state and actually over onto the Kansas side with Dale Shilley for the call of the St. Louis versus Sporting Kansas
our
City
home,
game.
Our win, I hope, a away win, I hope.
7:30 on Saturday night, second edition of the Border Clasico. Make sure you do tune in.
Wonderful.
It's going to be great to have a chance. Now, unfortunately, I believe we'll be traveling out to Los Angeles on September 9th. So I will miss the USA men's national team against Uzbekistan at City Park on the 9th as well, in advance of that contest in LA against the Galaxy on the 10th. But what a chance it is for these fans to see, and this is really incredible to me, to see every level of soccer.
So true.
Where you have one of the great college rivalries. Of course, you have the MLS games, including a win tonight for St. Louis City over FC Dallas. And then you have the men's national team coming to City Park for the second time. They put on a show and a blowout win against St. Kitts and Nevis. That was back in late June. I mean, what this city means to soccer and what soccer means to the city, it's everything.
And Joey, it's about time. I mean, and I love that you put it into actually, you backed it up on me bringing up the U.S. men's. But that bronze boot game is an old, old rivalry. I love that they're doing the women's game, then the men's game. It's right here at City Park. That's on September 2nd. September the 9th, we have the USA men's team. How cool is that that they're going to be here? And I'll also ask you this. I don't know how they set this up. Maybe you have more information on this. I don't know. But I have if they don't already have it locked in, based off of these facilities, that practice facility, this field, that they're, if they're not already doing it, at some point there's a very good chance the USA's home base for the men's team is going to be right here in St. Louis, because based off the fact of the facilities, based off of what they've done here.
Yeah. I mean, what has been built here certainly is attractive. And those city, and this is completely understandable because this stadium was very much in the planning and construction phases when it was being sort of hashed out for the World Cup as far as venues hosting go. Left out of that, but a great chance to become that base that the U.S. men's national team and in future events, the U.S. women's national team can use for a base here in this city.
Absolutely. And like I said, I'm not privy to that. Whoever listened might already know where they normally go or where they will go. But I guarantee you, based off of these facilities, they're going to start considering St. Louis as their home base.
Well, listen, I'm trying to get on the call at some point, so I've been calling my contacts in Uzbekistan.
Right.
They're not interested, but if the U.S. men's national team is, hey, I'm out there.
Right.
So I'm remarkably cheap.
So the three people listening right now, listen. All three of you, we are trying to reach out to Uzbekistan right now.
Send him a postcard.
Send him a postcard. Real briefly, based off of what I just said, Joe, let's talk about, because I know we're halfway through the season, but I mean this as a season ticket holder over there. How good of a job did they do, when I say they, the actual ownership group of St. Louis City do on this stadium? Because I'm going to tell you right now, when I went over there for that first game and still to this day, they did not leave a stone unturned. And I am not saying that as a St. Louis City boy with a business straight across the street. I mean it. They hit a friggin' home run.
And one thing that was turned tonight, those 22,500 placards honoring those who have been affected by the scourge of cancer.
So wonderful.
To see the engagement of the fans in the unveiling of this great mosaic across the park that prominently featured gold, the color of the night. I mean, it brought me to tears. It was really inspirational.
It really was.
And you start back in those days in the late 2010s when this was all being planned. They made a decision to do it right, not to just kind of throw something together and see how it went, but to construct a great tribute to the love of soccer that this city has. I mean, it's breathtaking. And there's something special about this. It's everything. It's off the field. It's on the field where City is maybe going to be that rare expansion team, the expansion team that once in a blue moon, baby, wins the conference.
Who does it?
It feels like there's something bigger at play.
It's so cool. It's so cool. Last week, listening to some of the national guys talking about it and them basically saying, hey, the first 6-7 games, are they for real? They were like, the two guys talking, I don't remember who they were, their names, but we're both like, you know what? You got to get a look now. They're like, this team is for real, without exception, they're for real. I still go back to Joey, what we talked about earlier on. I believe it has so much to do with, there was never a deal where out of nowhere, when somebody went down, somebody didn't step up. I mean, you got guys out of place that are playing positions they're not always used to playing that are doing unbelievable. You got guys scoring goals across the board. They've stepped up across the board and they've done it. And when you hear that nationally, when the guys are like, at first, you just don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of some luck, a little bit whatever. But then it's, no, these guys are for real. And you're seeing it now without exception.
Remember, there was a poll done of MLS experts before the season. And I think it was 10 experts, 9 of them picked City to finish dead last. There was one expert who took a bold stand and picked City to finish second to last.
Right.
But this team, I mean, this team used those expectations and fueled the fire. I mean, you can look back on it and laugh about it a bit now. They went in and used this as fuel to make this incredible run. If fans don't know, there's 8 games left to play in the MLS season. We know that it's a merry-go-round, always turning type of season. There's 8 games left until the playoffs for City. Right now, City is in first place by 7 points, though they do have one more game played than second place LAFC, the reigning champs, by the way. To think that this team would be here, I mean, I can't say honestly that anyone would say that this team would be in the driver's seat like this, but everyone, down to the last person, has gone with the momentum. And there is something special about this team, in the way that I think only St. Louis can really ignite. You think about the 2011 Cardinals, the 2019 Blues, these improbable stories, these underdogs that found a way, and that's exactly what this team is.
Joey, to just touch on exactly what you just said, as all of this has developed, as we move forward, you're literally looking at this game going, initially you're starting to go, hey, this place is going to be packed no matter what. Because people are going to be so happy in St. Louis to have our soccer back. We deserve it. We are a St. Louis is a soccer city. Everybody that's truly the soccer gets it. So we would have been tickled to death if they just had a maybe even a 500 seat. The way they are playing right now, and the fact that we are actually leading our division and gonna hopefully go into the playoffs with the actually in charge going into the playoffs is such, for me, an anomaly to think how are we even at this point right now? Because I think the city and the stadium will be full anyway, but now it's such a buzz. And when I tell you that, Joe, I'm going to talk about Maggie O'Brien's for a second. Just across the street right here as a bar, restaurant, the buzz in this place, when there's a game, when there's not a game, that just people actually talking about St. Louis City, it is so cool, man. I mean, it's so good for our city. And I think it would have been there for the first 3 or 4 years anyway, if we just got to have the team.
Yeah.
But the fact, I mean, that's but the fact point. That we're doing so well.
And people, there have been some good expansion stories in the history of the MLS. I think back to Atlanta in its first year in the late 2010s, capturing a championship. But it's also gone askew at more than a few places. And whether you're talking about off-field product or on-field product, Cincinnati was an expansion team just 6 years ago or so, and they spent 3-4 years hardly winning any games at all. This can go in a much, much different direction. I think in our hearts, we all knew it would turn out well, that it was going to be very good here in St. Louis, just because we know the soccer tradition. And to have that faith and to know it would be all right at the very least gave us such a strong base to go forward and to propel really into uncharted territory. I do think, going back to that, there's something bigger at play here, something special about this team. I mean, there's so many people who have loved this game, supported this game, sacrificed for this game, worked for this game, played for this game across this area. And now it's come to fruition. Those roots are so deep. This success is a byproduct of that love.
And you see in that stadium the amount, how people are so into it. I mean, it's amazing. It really is. Let me ask you a question. I'll put you right on the spot. As more of an insider, what is St. Louis City? When I say St. Louis City, St. Louis City, the club, how happy are they? What are they feeling? Because I'm telling you, from a outsider, from a fan, people are pumped up. I got to think they're tickled.
I mean, it's great energy always around the guys. Unbelievable enthusiasm. A lot of hard workers and a lot of very unselfish players who work hard and play for each other. I will tell you, as happy as they are with how things have gone, they are far from satisfied. They haven't come this far to just say, well, I guess with 8 games to play, we've proved anyone wrong or we've proved anyone right. This is a team that is still, I think, improving. And Bradley Carnell, after that win, July 15th against Inter Miami, it was a 3-0 win, a very convincing win by St. Louis City. And he said, I've never been around a group of guys who want to improve more than this group. And he's been a player in the Bundesliga. He's been a coach for a long time in the MLS, going back to his days with the New York Red Bulls. So to get that compliment, he certainly knows what he's talking about. And that's what I see from this team. Something about being around players like Edward Luthen. They're always thinking about the next step and how could I have gotten better here? How could I have done this here? And it's that relentless drive that has set them apart from pretty much every other team in the MLS. I mean, there have been some good performances. Cincinnati's been really good this year. Nashville, obviously, Inter Miami is coming up. All those teams have that mentality of we can get better no matter the result, win, loss, or draw. And that's the approach that City will take again tonight, even after a 2-1 win against Dallas.
Can you touch briefly on what your feelings are on Miami? And what I mean by that is literally being
haven't heard anything about him there, Eddie.
Right. Absolutely struggling. And then obviously, just to show you the difference of, I guess, what we know he's the best player, or if not the best, arguably in the top three, the best player in the world. But what he's done to that, and then for them only to not only struggle where they were, but then for them to win.
It's almost so automatic with Lionel Messi. I'm starting to pay more attention. I guess I just heard this today to Thiago Messi. He's going to be part of the U-12 Academy for Inter Miami. So if you think Inter Miami on the MLS side is doing well, wait until Messi Jr. gets involved with the youth circuit. That could be absolutely insane. I think they were on about, I'm estimating here, but 14 or 15 points as of July 15th. They were dead last in the Eastern Conference. When they came here on the 15th, Messi was not yet active. He would play his first game 6 days later. And so there were a lot of people that were saying, well, I would have loved to see Messi, and it would have been great. Almost some regret about not seeing Lionel Messi. For myself, I was saying, hey, 3 points is a lot easier when you don't have Leo Messi.
Joey, if you see some of the goals that he scored once he went with them, I mean, literally, you just see the level, the absolute level.
Silly.
The difference.
Silly.
I mean, if the ball needs to be in the upper 90 in the left side, that's where it goes. If he needs to keep it on the ground to beat the guy on a shot that there's no chance he's going to beat a goalkeeper, he keeps it on the ground to go to the all the way to the post. It is truly
uncanny.
It's surreal how that he's at that good at that level.
There's no doubt. I think now he's the best of this generation. I have not seen the Pelés, the Maradonas of the world play, but
or me,
I certainly will be, you know, voting for Lionel Messi as the greatest of all time. It's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. They tied in Nashville tonight.
Okay.
And so now Messi, through two official MLS games, has one win, one draw. They won the League's Cup, which is huge. That was the in-season tournament between Liga MX, the Mexican League, and MLS. And Miami, surprise, surprise, won it in the penalty shootout over Nashville. They met again tonight in a rematch. That counts the MLS standings. It was nothing. It's going to be really fascinating to see. Can they surge in the playoffs? It's a long climb, but just like the West, there's room to move up in the East. And if they do, could they ignite in the playoffs and make a run into the championship? That's the only way that St. Louis City SC this season will see Inter Miami, is if we meet in the MLS Cup Championship on December the 9th. I mean, do I think they can do it? I mean, look at the roster. Messi and sure. Busquets and Alba.
Well, that's the other thing. Let's not forget. Two came with them.
Yeah.
He didn't just come by himself.
And new coach as well, Tata Martino, right, who's won an MLS Cup. He's got reinforcements. I think it would be hard to beat them. Do I think they're beatable? I do. And the reason is just that I don't know that Messi is in the best shape, and he can completely make that irrelevant because he expends so little energy. And then when he gets the ball, all of a sudden it's just that burst and that famous finishing ability and all the great things about Messi. This is tough. MLS is very hard. The schedule is extremely jam-packed. And I just think that if they were to get in a conference semifinal and a conference final, there's a lot of talented players in this league.
Sure.
And I do think now, as we get into the next block of 5-6 games for Miami, cracks will show. And as hard as it is, I mean, it's a lot easier to just say it. I think it's possible to slow Messi and go down.
So I would like to also talk. I'm going to revert back briefly to to our game this evening before I get it off topic a little bit. I want the fans to know, all three people listening, a little bit about your background and how we got to this point. But I find this a little ironic. Like, growing up, a couple of parochial school boys, St. Gabriel's, Blue Ball, playing CYC soccer, you know, how you're taught to play the game, whatever. We, St. Louis City has done so well this year on set pieces, so well. But tonight, it is old school soccer. And what I mean by that is my father, God rest his soul, you play the ball into the corner, you get the ball across. Play the ball in a corner, you get the ball across. That's why a corner kick is considered an actual scoring threat. If you're giving the guy an opportunity to cross the ball in front of the net. And tonight, I think we showed that.
I think 23 shots for St. Louis City SC. And if you're with us on Y98, we were talking about, and this is a credit in many ways to Dallas. They're playing a man down, and they packed it in very tight back there and did a good job, I thought, overall defensively. It's going to have to probably be better in the final third for City. Now, there's no Joe Akini tonight. Klaus is still in the nascent stages of his return. It's definitely going to improve. The book, obviously, is being developed on City. How do you slow them down? How do you make them play your game? And ironically, it's giving City more possession. So we saw more of that kind
which
of classic.
Crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, we saw more of that classic soccer feel, just how you kind of come out of the park and you think the team that wins will control the ball and all that stuff. And it was. Credit to these guys. You have to win in different styles. And I do think that if you get into the MLS Cup playoffs, which start in late October, 10/28 is the first date, you have to win a round of three. And then you have to win a conference semifinal one game, conference final one game, then the MLS Cup championship on December 9th. And I think in that, between the series and the three individual games, I think you probably are going to see probably three different styles that get played. And this is going to be one of them. So it's a good way for these guys to come out of a break. The team took, a week off without training and then did a week of training to get back from the League's Cup break. They've come out against, 121 degree night against Austin and won at 6-3.
So brutal.
Went to Orlando, which is one of the best teams in the East, and they're on 40 points going into the matchup. And I mean, it's as hard fought as you can. Drop a heartbreaker and quick turnaround the next few days. City comes back tonight. First thing about its character by taking care of business, getting the win against Dallas.
And I couldn't agree with you more. And like I say, once that we had the red card, I thought, well, this will be it. But we controlled the tempo. We controlled the play. But I love to see the fact that not only can we absolutely dominate from set pieces, we can also play the ball to the corner, cross it, and score goals. I think it's a big deal, and I think we showed it tonight.
You see some goals as well from run of play. Yeah, there was a lot that was made about that on social media. I don't think it was anything too concerning. But there were really a pile of goals that were coming off just set pieces for St. Louis going into the League's Cup break. You knew they'd come eventually from run of play. And tonight you get some good finishes. Shout out to Anthony Markanek, scores his first St. Louis City SC goal. Then about 2-3 minutes later, Nukvi Thorason, the man from Iceland, the Viking, was striking tonight at City Park. And that ended up being enough for St. Louis in a 2-1
win. Right. And hey, Joey, we'd be remiss to not, before I get into some background stuff here, we'd be remiss not to mention Perez. We got to talk about the St. Louis kid. Yeah. Absolutely, literally just graduates high school.
Fattenville High School,
playing here on St. Louis City, gets his first goal. I was there for the game when he scored. What a treat. How cool it is. How tickled St. Louis is when he gets the chance to get on a field. Give me your thoughts on that and how cool it actually is as a St. Louis guy. Because I love the fact we're both St. Louis guys, born and raised. I think there's something wonderful about that. And there he is right there on the field, 18 years old.
Big E Perez had one of the most special moments in the history of St. Louis soccer.
Sure.
A kid who grew up on these fields to come to the greatest field that's ever been constructed in this city and score a goal in front of his home fence. He scored it in late May, and actually about 2 weeks before that, he had scored a goal against the Chicago Fire that a little bit of a different game City lost, and he scored a very late goal. You should have seen him in Chicago. He's pretty darn fired up. And then just the ecstasy of it sliding toward the fans in St. Louis.
So cool.
And
I wonder if he had any trouble getting a date to prom that year. This year. I mean, I just think it's so cool, man.
Yeah.
Just the whole story. It's not like you're bringing a guy back that's 36 that you just want to put on a field. That's a St. Louis guy that's had his run. This is a young man. He's got his whole future.
Started the season, he was 17. I mean, he's got the sky is the limit for sure. And it's going to be special to watch him continue to play here for years to come. Bradley Carnell talks about him and his performance, and he basically has said since the start of the season, the way that City views it, anything they get from Miguel this year is a bonus. Sure. They don't even expect him to be that world-changing type player this season, and yet he's still come through and given these fans and given this team so much of himself. I often ride the Metrolink to the games, and I love that connection as well. Miguel is featured on a number of Metrolink advertisements, and it's special to see that kind of unifying force for the city.
That's awesome. And for all of you listening out there, all three of you, I know you're probably still wondering who the hell is talking here, but I'm Eddie McVay, owner of Maggie O'Brien's. We're sitting here at Maggie O'Brien's with St. Louis City broadcaster Joey Zanaboni. And it's our first time we're doing this. We're going to do it throughout the year after the home games. And we're really tickled to bring this to you. And we're going to talk about St. Louis soccer. We're going to talk about drinks. We're going to talk about food. And we're going to talk about everything going on. But I also want everybody to have a general understanding, because this is something to me that I am always curious about. And I've had this conversation already with Joey, but I'm going to make him tell it again, because it sure is, he's going to be like, I don't want to talk about it all over again. But I find it so interesting. We have a guy here from St. Louis, born and raised, that's a broadcaster for his home soccer team. I think it's so cool. And I'd love to get the, so that you guys all at home get a chance to get a background on how did this happen? Where did Joey just walk in and say, hey, I want to broadcast? How did it all start? We all know that's not how it worked. But Joey, if you would, just from the beginning, just give us a breakdown of you were in your room and go from there.
Okay, so you're taking it back. Yeah, as I revealed to Eddie, this was hot news, folks. I spent 8 years in minor league baseball, as maybe one of the three people out there in internet radio land knows right now. And 2014, I was nothing more than an ex-poetry major, just whiling away time.
See, all you poetry majors out there, you could do it too.
It's not just about living in squalid apartments and wearing black turtlenecks, I'll tell you that much. And, you know, I have this hankering. When I was a kid, I really wanted to be a baseball announcer and be a sports announcer.
Tell them about, I'm not going to let you leave this out. Don't miss the part about you doing it in the recorder.
So I'm in my room in 2014. My love was rekindled. Love. And I did it into an ancient iPhone, whatever it was, iPhone 3 or something. And I thought I was slick. I wasn't even actually narrating the game. I can admit this now, but I wasn't even narrating the game.
So, folks, he literally was not actually watching a game.
I was just making it up in my head.
He was making the game up as it went.
And I added sound effects.
Hence the poet part.
And I sent it out to some summer college ball teams, and the Derby Twins, they bid on it, which was a delight to me. And I just remember the day they emailed me, Eddie. And I was leaving my job. I was actually working at the St. Louis Science Center at the time, and I peeled out of the parking lot, and that song "Walking on Sunshine" came on, and I just put the salute up by the window, drove home on the clouds.
I love it, man! What a cool story.
It was like a dream come true. And then I actually had to go out and do the season and figure out if I could do it or not. And
awesome.
It was something that just ended up taking me all over the country. I moved first to Wichita, and I was in northern Mississippi and northwest Florida, Tennessee, Virginia, between college and minor league baseball. When this opportunity came up, I mean, I just basically said, I feel like I could do it. I know a lot of people could. It would be really special to me to be able to come back to St. Louis, though, and be able to reunite with my family.
So essentially, you paid your dues, literally paid your dues, but you loved it. You loved it.
I've lived in a lot of furnitureless apartments.
In a lot of small towns.
I dried off after a lot of showers with paper towels.
I love it.
Some people say that's actually more expensive, especially the paper towels are super absorbent, which usually they are.
Love it. So then you do all that. And then you paid your dues. You keep getting a little bit higher, And then explain how you find out that this job is going to come available and how you apply, how that whole process works.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
I love it. I love that number one, you're great at it. I listen to you all the time. You know, I mean that. I'm not stroking. I mean that. You're so good at it. You could tell you enjoy it. You're so good at it. But I love that St. Louis people brought a St. Louis kid back and put him in a booth. I love it.
Yeah, and to me, that was really almost more thrilling than doing it in a major league. I had done minor league baseball, but never really a major league season.
Sure.
even more than that, it was really just about being able to be back in this area and knowing what St. Louis soccer has meant to my family. My grandfather lived on the Hill and supported and played and coached youth soccer on the Hill all 83 years of his life. And so it's always meant so much to us. And I had been doing the Ambush for a couple of years, so I still work St. Louis Ambush.
That's awesome.
Going into my third season this fall with that. And I was telling someone actually before the game today, it was about two years ago, and there was a city crossover night. This is while City was still in the planning stages, basically, with the Ambush. And they came out, and actually Carolyn Kindle was on the field for the Ambush. And I was kind of down there doing an interview, and I'm kind of standing there. I'm like, should I go over and give her my business card? Right. I don't know.
Hello, how are you?
And I did not. And I remember I got in the car that night and drove home from St. Charles, which for me is a long way. I drove home, and the whole time I was just thinking, I blew it.
Right.
You're never going to hear me with St. Louis sitting down.
I get it.
I missed my chance. She was right there.
I get it.
And so you know, I did have some contacts and have some people that I was able to reach out to, which I'm fortunate to have. And I just think last summer I was out in Fredericksburg, Virginia, doing some baseball and just had a wild summer, to be honest. It was one of the craziest summers of my life. And have the chance to be able to come back and to understand what soccer has meant to the city and to understand what soccer has meant to my own life story. It really is something that I'll always treasure to be part of this so far. And I really look at it as just getting started.
And I think it's so cool. I'll just say it again. St. Louis owned. They kept this team here. These people could have put a team anywhere they wanted. They got so much power and influence. They kept it here in their hometown, which, number one, I think is cool. They put it right in our downtown city, which I think is cool, especially because it's across from my restaurant bar, which I can't thank them enough. We always did well here. That's just a little bit of icing on a cake. But then when it comes to even like you, we talked about Perez on a field, a St. Louis City kid actually playing, a St. Louis City boy born and raised is in that broadcast booth calling those games, a guy that literally started calling fake games on a recorder in his bedroom. How cool is that? And then paid his dues in all those tiny towns making no money and doing it. And here he is sitting in the booth. St. Louis, if you're hearing this, be so proud of this, because this guy is one of us and he's so tickled to be in there. He's so proud of it, and he should be. And I told him this before when we were off camera the last time we were together. His family's got to be so proud of him. Has to be so proud that that's their son or brother or uncle, nephew. So I don't care. How cool is it? St. Louis being St. Louis. And I love it. And I'm so proud of you and happy for you, brother.
Well, thank you so much. That's a stirring speech, honestly, and quite a compliment to get. It means everything to me to be able to do this for the city. And we promised at the start of the year to do everything in our power to bring you the most entertaining broadcast in the MLS this season. And the season's not done yet. We've got a long way to go, but we have done everything we can for you. We'll continue to do it to make this the greatest in the league.
So, Joey, you just said it. I want to briefly before we let – I know you guys all want to go to sleep because we're putting you to sleep. But, Joey, can you briefly touch on – where we are right now? Okay, we're at 8:30. August the 30th.
Speaking of sleep,
we just beat Dallas tonight. Can you give us what you're thinking? Where are we going next here in the short term? What are we looking at?
Speaking of sleep, that was my nickname on the soccer field, was the human melatonin. I would slow things down to that extent. So I'm happy to put anyone to sleep at any point in time.
Believe me.
We're not going to be doing a lot of sleeping.
I was sneezing.
As we get into September, because it's a jam-packed schedule for St. Louis, starting with the Border Clasico Take 2. That is St. Louis versus Kansas City. By the way, this was breaking news for us. They actually play their games in Kansas. They don't play their games in Missouri. That's a literal fact. You can check it right now on Google Maps.
Check it.
They are on the Kansas side, Eddie, and we are going there for a 7:30 matchup on Saturday. It's going to be a hot atmosphere. And I will give you a little tidbit. This is a personal tidbit about me.
Late night menu.
Rockhurst University.
Late night menu. Rockhurst University. Kansas City. My brother-in-law, Mark, went there. Mark, if you're listening.
Thank you for getting this food.
And he met my sister Bridget, who went to Avila University on a volleyball scholarship. It's a small little school in Kansas City. My sister Bridget met her husband Mark, who was a Rockhurst High School boy and Rockhurst College guy.
Sure.
And that's where they met and fell in love.
Rock you times two.
I'm just saying.
When I was there during my own odyssey through the 1,200 person college that is Rockhurst U in the heart of Kansas City, who did I attend college with? Nikki Vermees, daughter of Peter Vermees, head coach of Sporting Kansas City. And we were not that close, but we were friends.
You know what I say? Get out of town.
You wouldn't believe that, would you? So I'm getting the intel from Nikki V this weekend as we go over to Kansas City. City, that's St. Louis City, beat Sporting Kansas City 4-0 when they met here in the spring. It was a blowout, but it was also a game that you could tell was just the starting point for what's the new boiling rivalry in the MLS. Stay on the road. Go to Galaxy. Go to Houston the 10th and the 16th. Then return the 20th against LAFC. Make sure you tune into all the action this season on Y98. And make sure when the team is at home, so when the game is in St. Louis, you can access your local radio stream via Apple TV. Just search for that radio icon in the right-hand corner and select myself, Dale Shilley, and Jen Cease over there on Y98. That project is really just getting started as well. Incredible things happening in the MLS.
It's so great. I love it. And I love the fact that, I correct me if I'm wrong, but if it ain't the last game, it's pretty close to the last game. Don't we have KC, Sporting KC?
We're going to have them here on September 30th.
And that's not our last.
But
it's right at it.
It'll be October 4th in Vancouver is the last road game of the regular season.
Don't you love how I put you right on the spot, Joe?
And I hope I'm passing the test here. Let's see. Hopefully none of these listeners correct me.
Poor Joe, literally, he just needs to know this because I just put him right on the spot. Like, you
better
know.
October 21st is the last home game. It's the last game of the regular season against the Seattle Sounders, who BTW, they are right in the thick of it, third place right now in the Western Conference. It quite possibly could determine the fate of the Western Conference on October 21st.
I do not know this, and if you do, I apologize if you don't. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think you will. Can you explain to us briefly how does the if we were able to actually finish the top of our conference, how does that break down? Meaning, like, if it's the Blues game, it's a top, you know, the,
sure,
the five, you know, 3-2, or how does that work as far as how many games at home,
City's
how many games
top, if the city is the top seed, they would play a 3-game series to open the playoffs against the winner of an 8-9 play-in game.
Okay.
And so that opponent would be determined via the play-in game, and that would go through City Park, where it's one home, one road, and then one back at home. If the team could win the 3-game series from October 28th to November 12th, then it would be an advancement to the conference semifinal. That's a 1-game matchup on the 25th of November.
That's interesting.
And then the conference final, if they can get there, on December 3rd, and then the MLS Cup Championship on December 9th, and then training camp on January 9th. I mean, it's such a quick turn.
How do they determine, though, that second, third round, where it's played?
It's home field advantage. So City could clinch.
Then it still stays with us.
A chance to play at City Park through the season. And what's even sweeter about it is if you win your conference during the regular season MLS, then you automatically qualify for the MLS, and all the clubs have a Champions League. Sure. This is absolutely huge. It's called the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Over the last few years, it's been called the CONCACAF Champions League as well. It's all the great talents, the winners of the League's Cup, the Open Cup, and the Canadian Open, and the team that wins Liga MX in Mexico, and the teams that win the conferences in the MLS, the teams that have the best overall record. There's different ways to get in. To have that happen for a team in its first year, to automatically be in the Champions League, even if they go no further in the playoffs than just to win the Western Conference, and I know this team's goals are really, really high, but even if it were to go no further, to clinch a spot in that would be an achievement of historic proportions.
So cool, and I'm glad St. Louis City, remember, he knew all of that, and I put him on the spot. I didn't even tell him that question was coming.
Nobody fact-check anything.
I am very proud of you, Joey. I'm very proud.
Now,
listen, St. Louis, or anybody coming to St. Louis, I'm Eddie McVay from Maggie O'Brien's. This is Joey Zanaboni from the St. Louis City Soccer Club right across the street here. And he is our broadcaster. I am Maggie O'Brien's, and we do this every night after a home game. We just talk St. Louis soccer. We talk St. Louis. We talk about anything that happens to come up. We would love to see you at right here at Maggie O'Brien's. You come in, we are always rocking before and after games. We've got food all night, even till 2 a.m. We have a late night menu. So after it gets to past the 11 p.m. mark, we still do a 2 a.m. menu. So much so that I made my man here mad because he always gets our shamrock, which is our steak sandwich on garlic cheese bread. But when he got here, because he was so late, and I told him, if you don't get here soon, I swear to God, no, I'm kidding.
Take it out. But he
had to go with the late night menu. But on the late night menu, we got everything from the fryer to the pizzas to the whatever. There's still plenty to eat. We would love to see you. We'd love to see you come in and hang out with us. Joey Zanaboni, right here from St. Louis, kid, that is our broadcaster. Eddie McVay, Maggie O'Brien's. Thank you, St. Louis, and we are looking forward to talking to you again after the next home match. Thank you.